Thank you all tonight. Kind of going to do the same format that we did this morning a little bit. I'm going to look at Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to try to preach Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse number 2. We'll start there. And I'm going to try to preach this thought through Lamentations. I don't get much in Lamentations too much anymore these days. This is Lamentations, a sad book, but it's got some good verses in it. So Romans chapter number 12, and I just want to say thank y'all. Anybody visiting tonight, I say appreciate it. I am too. I appreciate that. Y'all been wonderful to me today, and I do thank you for your hospitality. Pray for your pastor as he's traveling and as he's going to have to tear away from that wonderful baby boy. Well, that's going to be like Abraham and Isaac going through the wilderness, right? They're going to have to cut loose and come on back, you know. But I'm happy to fill in anytime he needs me, and he knows that, I'm pretty sure. But thank y'all so much for being here tonight on a Sunday night. And hopefully the Lord will deal with us tonight as well. That's all we can ask, that God would move in the midst and do a great and mighty work. That's all he could do. Just take his word, sow the seed, and let him do a great and mighty work in the lives of his people. So let's start on reading Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. This is just a simple Sunday school lesson tonight, and I hope it'll be a great help to you. Verse number 1, you know this by heart, I'm sure. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want to focus on that tonight, that you may be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you've given that any thought, if you've read that time and time again, and you say, well, what does that even mean? What can you transform yourself by renewing your mind? And then you start treading into dangerous territory about thinking positively and thinking things into existence and all that false doctrine. We don't go along with that. But how can you transform your mind, transform yourself by renewing your mind? Why does my mind even have to be renewed? Why? What's wrong with my mind now? But you have to renew the mind, because that's how you're going to transform yourself. It's to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there's a reason for that. And it says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you prove the things of God. People see things that God is doing. People see that God can do things, right, through us as imperfect people. Okay, turn over to Philippians, please. Philippians, that's our springboard verse there, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only alternative to do that is to be conformed to the world, right? Be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Philippians chapter 4 now. Philippians chapter number 4. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he gives us a little bit of a way to do that, something to look at here. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What do you use to think with? Use your mind to think with. Think on these things. So he's got a lot to say about the mind in the New Testament. And that is what we need to do today. We've got to change our mind about a lot of things. Matter of fact, I had to change my mind about salvation in order to be saved. I thought I was going to heaven. After all, I hadn't killed anybody like some people have, and I hadn't been as bad as some people, and everything I've ever known is you know, I'm okay. I haven't done as bad. I had a set of scales that I was measuring, and I didn't even have the standard on the scale. I had what I thought was on the scale that was bad of mine and what was good of mine, and the good would outweigh the bad. And that would get me to heaven. That was my thought as a teenage boy. That's what I thought. I was raised Presbyterian. And that's what I thought. It's the only thing I've ever been told. And come to find out, one day I had a good friend of mine invite me to church, invite me to a neighborhood Bible time the summer that I graduated high school. Had I not been caught then by the net of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, there's no telling where I'd be today. And found out that it was not that at all that did that. It was by the grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I said, well, that changes my mind a little bit. Then he went over to Romans and said, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. I said, well, that changes my mind a little bit. Then he said, but Christ commended his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died towards us. That's what God did. God commended his love towards us. That changed my mind a little bit. You see, then Romans chapter number 10 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord. If you call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. That changed my mind a little bit. And that's exactly what I did, to be saved. That's how God got a hold of me. It was renewing my mind. I had to think how God thinks, not how Wesley thinks. And that's what happens when a person gets saved. That's called repentance, folks. It's a turning away from what I thought and trusting what God says. That's repentance. And that's what's needed for salvation. And you can't separate the two. You can't separate repentance and salvation. You can't. I don't know how I got on this. I'm going to park it here for just a second. I'm going to rev it up, and I'm going to turn the clutch loose, and we're going to go, okay? But you can't separate those two things because it happens instantaneously. There's something God gives you enough faith, enough grace to say, I'm wrong, and he's right. I'm going with him. And then you trust him by faith, and that's what happens when you get born again. So anyway, we see the transforming of the person by renewing of the mind. Now turn with me, if you would, to Lamentations. Lamentations, right after Jeremiah, and Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. So before I start reading, because this is where we're going to stay pretty much the rest of the time, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, ask his blessings upon the service tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word, the teaching and preaching of the word of God tonight in a great and mighty way. God, remove me out of the way. God, forgive us the sins. Lord, forgive me of my shortcomings and my faults and failures. And I pray, God, that you would use the Holy Spirit of God to work in this congregation tonight, that we could hear from heaven, we can hear from God, the word of God, and that the Holy Spirit would drive it home. God, do a wonderful, mighty work here in this place tonight, and bless the congregation and the hearers of the Word of God, and bless your holy Word of God tonight. And we ask it for Jesus Christ's sake and his alone. Amen. So Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. And Lamentations is written as a book of weeping. It is a kind of a poetry book. It's a book of dirge is what they call it. What that means, I don't know. That's what they told me that's what that means. It's a book of dirge. It's a lowly book. It's a weeping book. Matter of fact, lamentation means weeping. Okay, it's interesting that if you look at the verses in there and how many verses go through each one, there is 66 verses in chapter number 3, and there is 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And each one of these chapters, 1, 2, 4, and 5, have 22 verses. One verse for each letter of the alphabet, and that's what the verse starts with. Is there each letter of their alphabet. But chapter number 3 has got 3 verses per letter. It's how chapter number 3 is written. So it's kind of written like poetry, and the Hebrews kind of see it as poetry, and they put it with the poetry books of Psalm and Proverbs, things like that. Jeremiah has written this book based on what he has seen. Now, Jeremiah was but a young boy when he was called to preach. Matter of fact, the whole book of Jeremiah, if you want to see it in relation to Christ, is Christ as the weeping prophet. And Christ definitely was very heartbroken over the people because his friends thrust him out. His friends wouldn't hear his message. And he had given the gospel to the Gentiles. Praise God for that. I like that. That's me. And I'm able to partake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah's people did not take his message at all, didn't want his message, told him, no, we're not going to hear the message, and they tried to shut him up every chance they got. Matter of fact, Jeremiah got so down on himself that he said, I'm going to quit. I don't want nothing else to do with it. I don't want to hear nothing else about it. God, don't bother me anymore. I cannot stand what's happening, and I don't want nothing else to do with it. And that's where that famous verse comes from, where he says, but I had his word burning in my bones. He said, and I could not keep my mouth shut. I could not quit because it was burning inside of me. And that's where we get that verse from. And Jeremiah was taken and he read to kings, but kings had their prophets and their false preachers. And there's a lot to be said about preachers and pastors and false prophets in the book of Jeremiah. And what happened was is they come along and they were preaching prosperity and peace. Oh, it's okay. Oh, it's all right. Meanwhile, the world was falling all to pieces. The world was falling apart. Their world in which they live was coming apart at the seams. Why? Because God was putting his chastising hand upon them because of what they did. They ignored it year after year after year. We talked a little bit about that this morning. So what Jeremiah is doing here is he's recording what he is seeing. Could you imagine living in a time in the United States of America where you watched it fall, you knew it was falling, and there was nothing you could do about it? Could you imagine that? This is the time in which Jeremiah lived. This is his recordings as God saw fit and let him put it in the Word of God. Jeremiah penned it down. Now, this is the Holy Spirit written, but Jeremiah penned it in paper. And what happened is he presented the Word of God to the kings, and the kings took the pen knife and cut it up. And Baruch, it was about the only friend he really had. And they wrote it again, wrote it down again. He said he ate them, and it was like honey. So Jeremiah went through a lot. I'm giving you a lot of background for the purpose of Jeremiah went through a lot. He was thrown in the pit. He watched Judah fall. He lived in that time period. And I told you this morning there was 10 years between Judah falling and Jerusalem finally falling. He watched Jerusalem fall. It was so bad. Look over at chapter number 2 and verse number 20. Behold, O Lord, and consider to whom thou hast done this. Shall the women eat their fruit? And children of a span long shall the priest and the prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord. How they conquered the city? They cut off the supply. They were starving to death. It talks about their visage being black as coal, their skin cleaving to their bones. They were starving to death to the point the women were eating their own children. Jeremiah saw some bad times. Jeremiah went through some stuff. Nobody would listen to him. Nobody would heed to the preaching. Nobody would turn from their wicked ways. And Jeremiah still preached. He was called to preach, and that's what he did. Lamentation is written with that background. Matter of fact, Jeremiah was thrown into the dungeon. He was thrown into the low point. Even it says it's below the treasury. As you remember, they come along with the bands and wound them up, the cloths and the bands, and put them under their shoulders and lifted them out. Jeremiah went through some stuff. The Bible tells us in Lamentations that many times that they were singing about Jeremiah. He said, I am their music. They made stories and songs about Jeremiah, picking on him and cutting him down and making fun of him. And yet he still preached the Word of God. He saw his city fall. We see that in chapter 1. If you look back at chapter 1, how doth the city sit solitary? Chapter number 3, Judah is gone into captivity. Verse number 3. Verse number 4, the ways of Zion do mourn. That's the holy city of God. That's Zion. Verse 7, Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction. Verse number 8, Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Jeremiah saw it all fall. Until his very end, he was taken captivity and he was sent down into Egypt, where he would end up dying. So he saw some stuff. Now, what I'm fixing to read you is nothing strange to me. Y'all may never have had this. God bless you if you ain't. But what I'm fixing to read you is no stranger to myself. and no stranger to some of the feelings that I have felt in times past, some of the questions I've had in my mind. Chapter number 3, let's get into our text. Verse number 1. The Bible says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me he is turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin he hath made old and broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. That's the tune, by the way. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Most of the time when we think about the hedge of God is protection hedge. He's saying that he's hedged me about and I can't get out of it. There's a perception there. Verse number eight. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. You ever prayed and felt like God won't listen? You ever prayed and feel like you won't get through, like you couldn't be heard, like you didn't have access to the throne of God? Verse number 9, he hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone and made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. The two things that David had to explain to Saul that he had conquered so that he could fight the giant. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones and covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Has anybody come close to feeling like that? Now, we didn't experience it like Jeremiah has. But we've had them questions like Jeremiah has. Matter of fact, he's describing God, and I don't even know what to make of it. I can't imagine somebody describing God as doing those things. Why? Because I live in the day of grace. I live in the age of grace. I've had the grace of God to where he's forgiven, and he's forgiven me, and he's taken and looked over some things that I've done. Not that sin's going to have any kind of a free course to do what it wants to do, but we're living in the day of grace. We don't understand what Jeremiah's writing here. But I've had some of those feelings. I've had some of those thoughts cross my mind. There have been times in my life where I forget prosperity. That's going to be your key tonight, by the way. I forget prosperity. But to say that my soul is far off from peace, can I just tell you tonight, that's a broken man. That man's broken. I mean, he's tore all to pieces. But just like this morning, I want you to look at the punctuation. I'm glad every jot and every tittle of the Word of God is true, ain't you? Everything that's put there is by inspiration of God. It's true. Because had there been a period after the word Lord right there, that's a sad story and a man with no hope. But it ain't a period. And boy, when I got to looking at this, I got to having a shouting spell. I mean a Baptist spit. A fit right and spit too, right in the study. I was spitting and having a fit and just a shout, I had a good old time when I read this and studied this. And I see that colon, like we talked about this morning, it does not mean it's finished. I'm glad it won't a period right there. I'm glad it ain't a period whenever I feel bad and whenever it looks bad and whenever things are bad. That's not the end of it. There's no period there. He put a colon and that's a punctuation mark used to introduce an explanation. And he's fixing to say, now let me explain something. And I'm glad he went on to let me explain something, because Jeremiah's fixing to explain something. And it's going to get us through some things. It's going to renew our mind. It's going to help us to show the perfect, acceptable will of God in our life. And he's fixing to do that right here. Look at verse number 19. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance. watch it, and is humbled in me. I've been humbled. Listen to me. Verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Wait a minute, Jeremiah. What are you telling me? He said, this I recall to my mind. This is what I'm transferring myself, transforming myself with the thoughts of my mind. Renewing my mind. That's what he's telling us right here. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. What is it that you recall to your mind, Jeremiah? Jeremiah is saying, this I recall to my mind. Everything I just read you, I recall to my mind. But now I'm going to put it into the context of who God is. And it gives me hope. Watch what he says, verse 22. Good night. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Why, Jeremiah? Because his compassions fail not. Hallelujah to God. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. I should have died back there in all that I was just telling you. But God's mercies. All the mercies of God. He called me to do something. I tried to quit and couldn't. And I continued doing it. And it's only because of his mercies that I'm still standing. That's what Jeremiah's saying. What are you saying, Jeremiah? Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Great is thy faithfulness. What a faithful God we serve. His mercies are new every morning. Can I just tell you, they may be weeping tonight, but joy cometh in the morning. There's his mercies are new in the morning. It may be bad today, but praise God, tomorrow's a new day. And his mercies are brand new for that day. I'm not living off today what he gave me yesterday. I'm not going to be living off tomorrow what he's given me today. His mercies are new every morning. Thank God for that. His compassions fail not. His mercies are great. And they're new every morning. Watch verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Wait a minute. Wait, Jeremiah. What are you saying? I just looked at verse number 18. And you said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. And you said in verse 17 that my soul is far off from peace. And now you're telling me that the Lord is my portion and saith my soul, therefore I'm going to hope in him? What happened? What happened, Jeremiah? Jeremiah renewed his mind. He was transformed because he renewed his mind. That's what the Bible verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says. This is put in action. This is him showing you how to do that. Okay? He gives us four things by way of introduction. Don't get scared. I ain't got but four pages. Here. By way of introduction, he gives us four things to look upon to renew the mind. Four things to look upon to renew the mind. Let me just say all four of these things are good. All four of these things are good. Now this is where the songwriter wrote, Count Your Blessings, named them one by one. He has to remember, like verse 19, it says, remembering mine affliction. And then in verse 20, he says, remembrance, I'm humbled. So we got to recall to the mind. That's how you renew the mind. That's how you renew the mind. God gives you a measure of faith to step out and do something so you can trust him. So that you can know today that what's taking place can be done because of what happened yesterday. The problem is with a lot of Christianity today is nobody has stepped anywhere, anytime, so they don't have what they need 2 days down the road because they didn't ever go through the door way back here. And that's a lot of the trouble today in the church and the Christianity altogether. Four things that's good that we need to think about. Verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait on him. Can I just tell you, it's good to wait on the Lord. That's faith that leads to patience. That's trust that leads to obedience. It's good for us to wait on the Lord. I can give you a prime example of that. Whenever that COVID-19 hit way back then, I don't know if y'all get cut off when you say that or not. Don't really care. Whenever that stuff hit, I worked a public job with the state of North Carolina. I knew what I was going to do, and I knew what I was not going to do. And had then decided I was going to lose my job on account of it. And I took it day by day. I had a good friend of mine at church. Same thing. He was in the military. They were pressuring him for the same thing. And we worked together. We talked together. And I studied. I was teaching Sunday school and studying it. And I got to looking at that passage where all the children came out of Egypt. They got out of all that. And they went right up to the Red Sea. And it was fixing to break forth. And they said, we don't know what to do. We have nowhere to go. This is the end of us. And what did Moses say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what Moses said. And God spoke to me through that. He said, son, stand still. God, help me. He said, stand still. Don't move on it. Stand still. And I stood still for over a year. And everything worked out just like God said it should. Praise God. Listen, it's good to wait on the Lord. We get too far ahead on sometimes. We're a little overzealous sometimes. We get too far ahead. And sadly, a lot of them are lacking behind because they ain't waiting on the Lord. They ain't with what the Lord's doing. We need to wait on the Lord. That's good to wait on the Lord. Verse 25, it says, to the soul that seeketh him, it's good to seek the Lord. It's good to seek the Lord. That's why we have prayer. That's we're seeking his face at the throne of grace. Amen. We got prayer as a tool to use. It's one of the offensive tools in Ephesians chapter number 6. The sword of the Spirit and the prayer. That's the only two offensive tools we have as Christians. Everything else is defensive. We got prayer. That's access to God. We got to seek him in prayer. We got to seek him in person. We got to look for the person of Jesus Christ. We got to be sure we're doing what he wants us to do. We got to throw all our faith and trust on him that he's paid for it all anyway. We got to seek him. We got to seek Jesus in the situation. And we got to seek him in prayer. We got to seek him in person. We got to seek him in purpose. That's what he was talking about, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What was mentioned in Romans 12, verse 2. So it's good to seek the Lord. Number three, it's good to hope in him. Look at verse number 26. I'm sorry. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. We talked about the waiting part of that already. But it's good to hope in him. Oh, man, we got a blessed hope tonight. It's good to hope in the Lord. I ain't talking about cross your fingers, cross your legs, and just please do something, God. I hope I'm saved. I hope you're going to do something. I hope you're true. I hope you're real. I hope this is all what it's worth. I ain't talking about hoping like a maybe so or let's guess or let's just throw the chips on the table kind of hope. I ain't talking about that. Hope is our blessed hope. That is the waiting for something that's going to happen. That's the hope that's what we have. It's promised to God and he cannot lie. That's the hope that we have. It's good to hope in him. Oh, it's good to hope in him. That's a no-so salvation. Because I'm hoping in him. And he's faithful and true, full of mercies that are new every day. And his compassions fail not. That's who we're hoping in. That's him. It's good to hope in the Lord. Surety of the Bible. It's good to hope in his word. This is the word of God. This King James Bible I got right here, the word of God. And it was good enough to get me saved. What am I going to turn from it from? I mean, where am I going to? There ain't no other version of anything that people are standing on like they do this book right here. That just tells me there's something about this book right here. And by the way, common sense tells me that things aren't the same if they're different. That's common sense. So this is a different version. Well, then it ain't the same. That's all I can tell you. It ain't the same. You can study it out, and I can point to everything in it that ain't the same, but I ain't going to do that, and I ain't got time for it. Oh, we know it's good to hope in him. I'm talking about belief in a God that's unchangeable. He cannot change. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank God for that because I want to be with him forever. He don't change. So it's good to hope in him. Finally, number four, and by way of introduction, it's good to learn and to grow. Watch verse 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Now say, where do you get learning and growing out of that? There are things that's going to happen to you that you need to bear so that when you get a little older, you can bear them. Am I right? That nobody can come to me and tell me about losing a father-in-law or a father as we did, except for you've lost one already. Now I can help others because I know what they've been going through. You see, it's good for somebody to bear the yoke in the youth. We live in a day today in which everybody gets a trophy. Matter of fact, we've been living in that day long enough, we're seeing the fruit of that. Everybody dancing in the street and partying and having a good time and protesting everything. That's a person that's never lost. It does us good to lose every once in a while. It does us good to experience what it's like to proverbial pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, even though we don't have to because we're trusting and have faith in Christ. Now, his yoke is light. His burden is easy. But it does good from time to time to learn a little something. James talks about the trial of your faith. Bringing forth good works. See, we don't have that today. I'm afraid we live in a time today where we don't have the learning and the growing by experience. And we try to read it all in. There's some things you can't read in. I know I'm a Baptist. I didn't read into that. You say, how do you know? That's one of them things I just know. Praise God, I was saved and baptized, and it stuck. It just works. It wasn't that water washed me out of nothing. Although I was probably cleaner when I got out of it than when I got in it. But I'm here to tell you tonight, that stuff works. I know people that have been saved, been born again, professed to be Christians, and never go through the baptism and never lift a finger for God. Now, whether they're saved or not, I don't know. I don't know if they made a profession or if they really got saved. But I do know one thing. They didn't go through the baptism. They never lifted a finger for God. Matter of fact, you can't find them. The FBI can't find them. Don't care who's in charge of it. They can't find them. They're CEO Christians. They come on Christmas, Easter, and other special occasions. And see, what I'm telling you tonight is that there's some things that I don't have to be told because I just know it's true. Why? Because I've lived it. Jeremiah has given us that because he's lived it. I just read to you all he went through, and he's telling you. He said, it's good that a man bear his yoke in his youth. Why? Jeremiah started as a boy. Y'all remember that? Jeremiah started as a young boy. And there's no way he could have did what he did and went through what he went through had he not borne his yoke when he was young. And we take that away today. Why? Because we don't want our children growing up without the things that we had. We don't want our children having to experience what we had to experience. And bless God, they hain't, and now we're reaping the benefits of it. I shouldn't even say benefits, but there's no benefit to that. It's good that a person learn and grow. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know what it's like to experience some things that he went through to pay for the things that he did so that we'll appreciate them. Look at verse 28. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. Can I tell you tonight that this sitting alone and keeping silence sounds to me like a person who knows how to control his vessel? Does it not? How hard is it for you to bite your tongue sometimes? Do y'all have trouble with that? Can you bite your tongue sometimes? You're pretty good about that? Not saying what needs to be said, the obvious. Right? It's hard to do if you drive a car. Oh, it's hard to do if you drive a car. I can't tell you just today how many people have pulled out in front of me. And I'm trying to go to church. I'm trying to preach at church. You know how hard it is to bite your tongue? Why can I bite my tongue? Because I did it yesterday. And I did it the day before that. And the day before that. Do you think Daniel had any chance of not praying every day? Why is it that when they come against him and put the decree out there that you should worship nothing but the king, that he went and opened his windows and prayed? Did he do it in defiance and being a rebel? No, he did it because he did it yesterday. And God did something for him. He's living in the time after Jeremiah. He's grown up and raised in Babylon. And the man in Babylon saw something in him and made him somebody. He was second only to the king. Why? Because God reverenced and respected and rewarded what he did on a daily basis in the face of where he was living at. He was living in a sinful world, but he kept the faith. He did what he was supposed to do. And it's good to learn and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good that a person bear his yoke in his youth. We're living in a world today where people aren't going through anything, so they don't have any backbone when something does come along. We go to church in the good times, and you see them fall out when it gets tough. You see things happen, and I'll just go somewhere else. I'll just go to that place where they're playing the drums and they're singing the songs and they're lighting the lights and the thing, because they're going to smoke when they leave here anyway. And they make me feel good from what they tell me, and I'm going to leave out of here, and I'm going to feel good, and I'm going to go to work on Monday. And then that's the end of church that week. It's out there, folks, I'm telling you. And it's full of people that used to sit in independent fundamental Baptist churches. Full of them. Then what happens? They do that for a little while, and the music don't make their body move anymore because they get just as apathetic in that as they were sitting under the Bible preaching. And now they're gone. Now this person used to be some great person that would come to church and you can depend on and was faithful. Now you turn around, you can't find them anywhere. That's what takes place. What do they need? They need to renew the mind. They need the transformation of the renewed mind talked about in Romans chapter number 12. That they're so... Good night. I got to move on. I got to get off this. We're so to a point today to where we're absolutely afraid to let God do anything to where I know it's just me and God. Jeremiah lived his life. It's just me and you, God. He lived his life like that. And we can't take one situation and run with it. The first thing that happens is the first phone call we make. I need help. Pray for me. I need this and that. Nothing wrong with having people pray for you. But we get to the point where, man, I got to go to the bank and take out a loan. I got something coming up in a month I ain't got the money to pay for. You just took 30 days away from God where he could work. He don't need to do nothing now. You've got to handle it. You handle it then. I'm telling you, we live in a world today where the Christian ain't spending enough time alone with God to where he knows what it's like to be alone with God. And we got to get back to that. And let me just ask that for this purpose. How many of y'all ever fell in love with anybody you didn't spend a long time with? You didn't. And you won't. What's our love like with Christ? What's our love like? Is it waning? Is it waxing? Are we the Laodicean church today? I have somewhat against thee. You've left your first love. We can't love him because we don't want to spend enough time alone with him. We're scared to death to spend any time alone with him. You say, well, Brother Wesley, that's nice. I've got all this under control. I've got it handled. I know all of what you're saying, and that's fine. You're right. But I'm all right. I'm already know how to be alone with God. I'm already seeking his face every day. I'm already waiting for the leading of the Holy Spirit when I'm supposed to. I'm already living my life looking and hoping and that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm there. Everything's good. Well, it's good for now. But what do you do in the good times? What are you going to do? We're talking about renewing the mind. Well, I got my mind right. What do you do? He didn't leave us without that. He even tells us what to do after we got it all figured out. After we've renewed the mind, he's given us some steps here. Let's look at it. I'm going to be short with this because I know my time's waning. 1-4 is about renewing the mind, you see. These things we just talked about, those four steps is renewing the mind. What do you do to keep it renewed? Here it is. What do I do when I get broken? I'm living on the mountaintop. I've got the victory. I'm doing everything that it's talked about doing. But I know from past experience that I'm going to fall slam off the ledge one day and I'm going to be in that valley once again. What do I do when I'm broken? And he gives us exactly what to do here. 3 encouraging thoughts to think on. And I want you to think on these things when you're broken. What do I do when I'm broken? Look at verse 44 through 49. Jeremiah, do you know anything about being broken? Listen to what he said. He's talking about God. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud. All prayer should not pass through. We can't even get a hold of you. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. We used to be the crowning jewel of this whole part of the world, and now we have fallen. As a matter of fact, it talks about in chapter number 2 about how even the kings would not even have thought it, that this would happen. What are we going to do? We're the offscouring. That's the throwing off. That's the trash. We're the trash now. We were the blessed people of God, and now we're the trash. What are we going to do? Verse 46, all of our enemies have opened their mouths against us. And don't people talk about you? Y'all live in a world where people talk about you? They've opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare has come upon us. Desolation and destruction. And Jeremiah says this, mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission. What are you going to do when you're broken? Jeremiah's broken. What are you going to do when you're broken? He gives us three things to think about. You remember, it's all about renewing the mind. When you get broken, you have to renew your mind. When you get broken is the time that the world wants to come along and glue you back together in their mold. Whenever they want to conform you to this world. Whenever you get broken is the time when you're most vulnerable. Whenever you get broken is whenever the devil comes in like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't come in as a roaring lion whenever things are going good. He comes in as a subtle serpent when things are going good. When you're broken and he knows he can attack, that's when he comes in as a lion. What do you do in those times? Jeremiah, have you got any advice for me? Jeremiah, is there anything written down here that you're pouring your heart out to God that's going to tell me what I need to do whenever I feel like I've been broken to pieces? Number one, I'm going to give you three encouraging thoughts and we're going to the house. And they're fast. Look at verse 31. The Bible says, for the Lord will not cast off forever. What are you saying, Jeremiah? What are you saying I need to think about, Jeremiah, whenever I'm broken and I'm tore all to pieces? He said, think about this. All this is just temporary. It's just temporary. The Lord is not going to cast off forever. It's just temporary. We're going home one of these days. I got a home beyond the river. I got a home in heaven. I got a home that won't be touched by moth or dust. Y'all ladies ought to say amen right there. Ain't none of it going to happen to nothing up there. Can I just tell you, Jeremiah says, what you need to think about whenever it's tough, the Lord ain't going to cast off forever. Hey, he ain't done with you. And what you're going through ain't going to last forever. It's just temporary. What a blessing to know. What a blessing to know that there's going to be an end to the storm. What a blessing to know that we're going to go over to the other side like they did in Mark chapter number 5 whenever they told them to get in the ship, and they went in the ship and went out there and said, cast not that we perish. And Jesus said, peace, be still. And the waters had to obey. And the winds had to obey. And what does it say? It says when they got to the other side. Listen to me, folks. We're going to the other side. Hey, this is all temporary. It's the trials that's temporary. The sickness is temporary. The evil that's happening in this world is temporary. And the longer it seems like we go where God's not doing anything, simply means that we're closer to God doing something. Because it's just temporary. It's all just temporary. What a blessing to know. Thank you, Jeremiah. I appreciate that. It's just temporary. The Lord will not cast off forever. Do you realize he wrote that never seeing the remnant come back? Do you realize he wrote that going off into Egypt and dying in Egypt? And he said, I want to leave y'all boys with something. Let me tell you what the Lord will not cast off forever. I'm going down here to die. And we've been dispersed. And our home has been destroyed. And our country has been overtaken. And our worship place is no longer there. But I'm just here to tell you, the Lord don't cast off forever. This will not be the end of it all. We may not be here to see it, folks, but this ain't going to be the end of it all. The Lord will not cast off forever. forever. This is just temporary. What a blessing. This is just temporary. It's just temporary tonight. Number 2, verse 32. But though he caused grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. What mercies are that? That's the ones they talked about up there that are new every morning. Verse 33, for he doth not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth. Can I tell you what he's saying right there? Though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Not only is this just temporary, I want to speak personally to you tonight. I want to speak to every one of you tonight. Look me in the eye. I want to tell you this. God loves you. His compassions fail not. Even though things are bad, even though things don't look like they think they should be, like how we want them to be, God Almighty loves you tonight. That's enough to get me through. That's enough to get me through. Hey, that's easy preaching, hard living. If I'm supposed to trust him and he wants what's best for me, then he's going to do what's best for me. But I got to trust that. And I don't care what it looks like around me. I know that's what God's doing for me. I've been going through a time of that in my life. I'm speaking from experience here. Because I don't know what God's doing, but I just trust him. Say, God, I just trust you. Remember, God loves you. In the good times, God loves you. That's easy. In the bad times, God still loves you. That ain't as easy. When it all comes crashing down, God loves you. When the devil's on your back, God still loves you. I'm just here to tell you tonight that one thing you need to know is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. God loves you. There's nothing that you're going to do to make him love you more than he already has. He loves you. He went to Calvary for you. He shed his blood for you. He took the stripes for you. He wore the crown for you. He hung on the cross for you. There's nothing more that he could do than love you anymore. He's done shown you. He loves you. He loves you tonight. He loves you. Not only does that give me comfort, it also gives me comfort because it says in verse 33, he does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. Not the children of God, the children of men. Not only does he love me tonight, he loves everybody outside of these walls tonight. Thank you, God. What's that do for me? That makes me hold my tongue a little longer. Whenever I have that wrath to come upon me, that makes it stand still and give grace just a little longer. Why? Because I can look at them now, and I know that God loves them. And I know that God died for them just like they died for me. I know that God died for them just like he has hung on the cross for me. He afforded them the same thing he did me. But by the grace of God, I'd be just like them. And that does something to me. It ought to do something to y'all as well. It ought to make you tell somebody about you. It changes my anger to pity. It changes my wrath to grace. It changes my silence to witnessing. Next time you've been broken, remember, it's all temporary and God loves you. And not only you, but everybody else. That does something for me. Watch this, verse 35 through 38, number 3, and I'm done. Turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High. To subvert a man in his cause, for the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it come to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Can I tell you tonight what Jeremiah wants you to know? Ain't nothing happening without God saying it to happen. Can I just tell you now? Let me put it a different way. God knows exactly what's going on. God knows what's going on in your life. God knows what's going on in my life. There ain't never been a moment I woke up and surprised that man. I promise you that. He knows exactly what's going on. And he knows what's happening in the world today. And he's going to handle it all one of these days. Because everything is temporary. God still loves you. And I know what's going on. That's what he wants you to know tonight. Oh, he's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. Who has said anything take place that God has not known about? God knows about it all. It gives us a reason to live. Matter of fact, it said, wherefore doth a living man complain for the punishment of his sin? What we got to complain about? Well, I know it's tough. I know it's hard. I know things get bad from time to time. But what have we got to complain about? Matter of fact, knowing that this is just temporary, knowing that God loves me, look at verse 54. What do you do when you're broken? What do you think about when you're broken? Waters overflowed my head, and I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul, for thou hast redeemed my life. Thank God we serve a Redeemer tonight. He's the Redeemer of the soul. He's the Redeemer of the life. He could take you out of the miry clay and set your feet on a solid rock. He can do what nobody else could do for you. Why? Because he knows exactly what's going on in your personal situation. He knows everything that's going on, and he's in control. The Bible says he's the Most High God. Not just the high God, he's the Most High God. None is beside me, is what he says in Exodus. Worship the Lord thy God. Oh, God knows everything. He's still on the throne tonight, folks. He ain't took a break. He ain't going to get no water. He ain't said, hold it down till I get back. He's sitting on the throne just like he has been since way before time ever began. And it's his throne that he's sitting on. He didn't borrow it from somebody or steal it from anybody. It's his throne that he's sitting on tonight. We just get to be partakers of it. Can I tell you what Hebrews says? Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may find grace and help in time of need. Listen, folks. Jeremiah went through it. We ain't going through what he's going through. But the next time you're down, remember to renew your mind. Remember to think on these things. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. That's the key. Jeremiah said, remembering all these things. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. Next time you're beaten, broken, and hopeless, remember these things. It's only temporary. God still loves you, and God ain't gone nowhere. He's still on the throne. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that you've given us tonight. Thank you so much for your love and your mercy. Your compassions that fail not, your mercies that's new every morning. Lord, it's so temporary and there's so much work to be done. God, give us a burden for lost souls. God, help the broken that may be listening tonight to pick up the pieces, bring them before you and let you put it back together and Proverbs says, a righteous man falleth seven times and getteth up again. Help us to get up, Lord, if we've fallen. Help us to renew the mind. We've got to get our mind right, God. We've got to get our mind back on you. So much amusement today, so much fun and games. God, help us to get our mind back on you so that we're not conformed to this world. Thank you for giving us an example in Lamentations through Jeremiah's life so that we wouldn't have to live through that. And God, even if we do, now we've got the written word of God to help us through it. Jeremiah didn't even have that. Thank you, Father, for loving each and every one here tonight that's in attendance. Thank you, God, for loving each and everybody that we're going to cross paths with on the way home. And thank you most of all, God, for being faithful and true. Great is thy faithfulness. It's unmatched. There's none like you. Thank you for loving us tonight. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, your kindness. God, I pray you help your people through the message as the days go by and as the days come on. And Lord, it's something to be remembered in a time of trouble that you could help your people with the Holy Spirit of God. For Jesus' glory and his sake alone, we ask it tonight. Amen. I'm going to play a song of invitation right quick. Thank you all this afternoon. Altar's open. Y'all may stand if you're experiencing what Jeremiah went through. It's hard to read Lamentations and have any complaint about our life. It's hard to do. And knowing the background and knowing what he went through, take a moment right now where you're sitting at to just thank God for what he's done. Thank God for who he is. Thank God for the help he's given. No other way but to trust and obey.